Okay, Bo, the Mormon Church was in the news just yesterday, and we just felt like we had to get a conversation out there about this because, well, you could explain it, but basically, the LDS Church, you know, the mainstream LDS Church, just bought something called the Kirtland Temple. Why don't you start with the purchase from, I think it was yesterday, right, Bo? And then let's back up and talk about the history of this place.
Yeah, so the Kirtland Temple was just purchased by the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. This is the original temple. This is the temple that Joseph Smith built with those early saints. And then they lost it when they were driven out. We'll cover all this, but they lost the Kirtland Temple. And for the last, 200 plus years, the church has, has not owned it. It's been owned by the RLDS Church, or the Church of the Community of Christ, which we will get into that too. So first, let me just cover this announcement because it's a pretty big deal in the Mormon community. The Kirtland Temple is obviously a really special building and a holy building for Mormons. So this building was purchased by the Mormon Church for $190 million yesterday. The RLDS Church, the Community of Christ, turned quite the profit. They bought it for $5,000 back in the 1800s. So I'd say the return on investment was pretty good there, Brian.
I know. Serious.
Yeah, so yeah, not too bad. So this temple was, this is the original temple. This is the first temple that Mormons ever built way back in the early 1800s.
Okay. So some of our listeners don't even know what you're talking about. So they're like, wait a second. I thought Mormons are from Utah, but actually they are today. So many, Utah is the Mecca of Mormonism today. But Joseph Smith started on the East Coast, right? He started in New York. He kind of worked his way toward the West. At some point, he ends up in Ohio. And he's still, maybe kind of help us with some of the dates and some of the, even the formulation of his doctrine at this point, right?
Yeah, sure, definitely. So Joseph Smith is, in his words, restoring the gospel of Jesus Christ to the earth, right? And in the early 1800s, he establishes the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. This is in upstate New York. And then they decide that they need to move. He receives a revelation that they need to move. So they end up moving the church to Kirtland, Ohio. This was an attempt to get some space, get some room and establish a community. So they go out there to Kirtland, Ohio. And in 1833, they begin construction on the Kirtland Temple. The temple was designed to, to be a house of worship, like a church building. A house of instruction, as well as a place where they could administer sacred ordinances. Now, the Kirtland Temple is a big deal. This is when Joseph receives multiple revelations in the Kirtland Temple. This is when, angels appear to him in this building. In fact, during the dedication of this building is when you have a ton of documented experiences, even by the members of almost like a revival, Brian, like people speaking in tongues, people seeing angels, all sorts of things were documented during the dedication of the Kirtland Temple. So yeah, it's a significant building. It's one where Joseph claims to have seen many revelations. It's a holy building for Mormons. And so it's exciting for the LDS Church that they now have ownership over that building again. And in the article, it also says that they were able to buy some different manuscripts. Maybe they'll have Joseph's full translation of the Bible in this purchase. I don't know. That'd be interesting to see. But yeah, this is a pretty big deal.
Yeah, if they do, then you think that they would start using the Joseph Smith translation instead of the King James Version with the Joseph Smith annotations?
Well, hey, they say as far as it's translated correctly, I doubt they're ever going to go that route, though, because obviously the Joseph Smith translation has been proven to not be true to the original author's text. So,
okay, so Bo, let me just ask you, just on a personal note, like growing up in the Mormon church, were you aware of the Kirtland Temple? Was that like part of the Mormon story that you celebrated and all, your family celebrated, everyone at church celebrated? Was that a thing, or is that just like, oh yeah, that's right, I remember the story of the Kirtland Temple. Like, how big of a deal is this to Mormons today, I guess?
It was a huge deal. Yeah, the Kirtland Temple is a huge deal. So there's a few paintings that come into my mind immediately when I think Kirtland Temple. I think of the painting of Joseph and Oliver Cowdery praying in the Kirtland Temple and the Lord appearing to them in the temple. Behind them is a screen or a sheet, and then the congregation is behind them. So that painting is like burned into my brain. That's a painting I'll never forget because I saw it over and over and over again, right? The restoration of the gospel and how important the Kirtland Temple was. So yeah, growing up, you not only did you know about the Kirtland Temple, you knew about the importance of it. You knew about the sacrifice, especially. You were taught about the sacrifice that the early church members made to build the Kirtland Temple. And then any church history movie or any Joseph Smith adaptation on the big screen that you ever saw growing up included, you know, a montage of the building of the Kirtland Temple and how important that was to him.
Okay, so then why did they leave? I mean, here they are. This is, okay, let's think about our dates here. So this is early Mormonism, right? Joseph Smith's still there. So 1833, they begin construction in Kirtland, which, by the way, Kirtland is just a little bit northeast of Cleveland, right, kind of not too far from Lake Erie, just south of Lake Erie. So anyone who's been to Cleveland, you've been awfully close to Kirtland. I would imagine maybe faithful Mormons would make the trek to Kirtland. Is that true, maybe, if they're like on their way to Palmyra or something like that?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, this has been a place for church historians, but also just for church members to kind of make a pilgrimage out to Kirtland and visit that original temple. Absolutely. Yeah, it's something that is important to church members. And many of my friends and even, you know, family members have made that trek back east to visit the Kirtland Temple. It's interesting. So back then, the Kirtland Temple was, like I said, the original temple. It's completely different from any Mormon temple on the earth. And I spoke to Joseph's evolving theology, and this is kind of evidence of it, or at least suggestive evidence of it. The Kirtland Temple is known as basically like a preparatory temple, essentially. It was it was more of a meeting house slash temple. So in a modern temple, you're going to have multiple levels. You'll have multiple types of rooms, right? You'll have a terrestrial room, a celestial room. You'll have the veil at the temple, all of those things. You'll have an altar at the temple. All those things are what are currently in the temple. But at the Kirtland Temple, it was quite a bit different. So it looked more like a big chapel than it did a temple. So any Mormon listeners out there are going to know what I'm talking about.
All right. But isn't that confusing? Because follow my reasoning here. Maybe you can put on your seminary teacher hat to try to explain this to me. I'm a student. We just went with my family to Kirtland. We got to see the temple. But I know what the temple looks like in Utah, all the different temples in Utah and around the world, 138, however many we have now around the world.
I think there's almost 200 now. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So look, I'm like, okay, so what do they call you? Professor Bo, Teacher Bo, Seminary Teacher Bo.
Yeah.
I don't understand if this is God's revelation, if Joseph Smith is restoring the temple, he's restoring what was lost, 1800 years ago or whatever. What I don't understand, like, why he wouldn't restore the temple that I know. Like, why would there have to be an iteration? Did God make a mistake? Did Joseph make a mistake? Like, would anyone think to ask that question?
Yeah. That's a good question, Brian. I think in seminary, no, kids aren't going to ask that question. They're just going to, you know, just take the information. These are kids that grew up in the church like I did, right? And no, I wasn't asking that question. I think I did later on for sure. But typically, you know, the way that Mormons think about this is Joseph received his revelations and he restored the gospel line upon line, precept by precept, here a little and there a little. So essentially what Mormons believe is that the restoration was a process and that the temple restoration was a process. But calling it, to your point, Brian, calling it a restoration is just false. Like it's not a, and this is no shot at Mormons. It's just factual. Like the temple and the temple ceremony that Mormons do today is not what was done biblically. And the building and the rooms, et cetera, in the Mormon temple is not what they had anciently in King Solomon's temple, David's temple, or in the tabernacle. So the clothing worn is different clothing. All of that stuff is different. So calling it a restoration is definitely going too far. You can call it an adaptation if you want. But yeah, the Kirtland temple, to your point, was completely different. And the way that it was explained to me growing up was that this was a kind of like a preparatory temple before the full revelation of the temple came, which was in Missouri. So the saints have to leave Kirtland. The saints they're getting in trouble. They've got some persecution going on, some financial burden as well. Joseph actually was known for some significant debts at the time. So due to these financial struggles, a ton of persecution in that area in 1838, they leave, and Joseph and many of the followers leave Kirtland and they resettle in Missouri. So that's kind of when the Mormon church leaves this building behind. Sad to see it go. They go establish a community in Missouri, and the Kirtland Temple is essentially lost from then on. So for a number of years, it's passed on to just private ownership, and eventually the Community of Christ at that time, I guess it would have been the RLDS church, the Reorganized Church, purchased it for $5,000 in 1880.
Okay, so wait a second. The Reorganized Church was a splinter group off of the Mormon church that we know today. Right. Okay, so I got a couple questions about that.
Yeah, I'll give you some context on that. Yeah.
Yeah, when did that splinter, and isn't that kind of like a little bit of a problem for a church that was started because they hated all the denominations? And I mean, isn't that part of what Joseph Smith said was, look, all these denominations, Christian denominations, prove that Christianity is apostate. So did anybody start saying, wait, maybe we're apostate? Because now, even today, now there's all kinds of splinter groups off of the LDS church.
Yeah, there are. There's all kinds of them. So when Joseph Smith was killed, there were a bunch of splinter groups that formed. And one of the more prominent splinter groups was the Reorganized Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, right? So this group is now known as the Community of Christ, but it actually comes from Joseph Smith's son. So Joseph Smith III ends up becoming the leader of this group, and Emma Smith follows this group. So a lot of people, you know, kind of stayed with the Smith bloodline and followed the RLDS church. Now, the RLDS church teaches from the Book of Mormon. They teach from the Bible. They teach from portions of the Doctrine and Covenants. But there's a few things that are different about the RLDS church. One is they believe in the Trinity. They don't believe in like the Mormon version of the Godhead. And there's a few other things. But this splinter group was a prominent splinter group that occurred once Joseph was killed. Because basically, when Joseph's killed, the church members just are in disarray because this was the prophet, right? They believed that the second coming was around the corner, that this prophet was going to be the prophet. So then the question was, well, who's the next prophet? Who's going to lead us? And in the Mormon church, that's a big deal because the prophet speaks for God, and the priesthood authority is what you rely on for everything. And so they didn't know who had the priesthood authority to lead the church. And anyway, eventually Brigham Young gets a tight grip over the majority of the saints. He moves them west out to Utah. They obviously practice polygamy. They build this thriving society in Utah. And that is why Mormonism survives, essentially, and becomes this thriving religion, is they're away from the government. They're able to do their own thing. They're able to own a ton of land and obviously build a financial empire as well, as we know today. But anyway, the RLDS church stays behind. They stay out on the East Coast and are actually responsible for preserving quite a bit of Joseph Smith's legacy, obviously being in the family from the original founders helps.
Yeah. And so that's part of what the church said yesterday, right, in their news release, is they didn't just buy the temple, but they actually bought a bunch of documents as well that, again, Emma and Joseph Smith III, I guess, right? Because Joseph Smith Jr., the founder of Mormonism, was a junior. So Joseph Smith III was his son. So he goes and leads the RLDS church, which it is. We need to do a whole episode, by the way, on the RLDS church, which now is called, what'd you call it? The Community of Christ.
Yeah, that's right.
So we'll do that at another time. We do have, in the next couple of weeks, we do have an episode on the priesthood coming up. So I want to encourage our listeners to keep tuning in, because that's going to be super interesting. We'll touch on this a little bit more. But okay, so let's get back to the Kirtland Temple. So what you're saying is, let's do the dates. 1833, they start Joseph Smith starts the construction of the Kirtland Temple. 1836, the temple's finished. 1838, they get out of Dodge, right?
That's right.
Yeah. But by 1880, the RLDS church now, because at this point, Brigham Young, Joseph Smith has died. Brigham Young has taken the Mormons as we know them to Utah. Yeah. And so now in 1880, probably I would imagine out of, you know, zeal for their history, like you said, kind of preserving Joseph Smith's original version of Mormonism, the RLDS church ends up buying the Kirtland Temple in 1880 for, as you said, at the opener, $5,000. Man, what a good investment.
It's a pretty good investment. I don't know what the return is on that. But going from 5,000 to 190 million, that's pretty good. I mean, you gotta factor in inflation, but that's pretty good.
Well, so why? I guess my question is, why did it take so long for the LDS church as we know it to buy it from the RLDS church?
That's a good question. I wondered kind of my whole life why, because I always knew. I remember learning that the Mormon church did not own the Kirtland Temple. And I was always so confused, like, well, how can we not own the Kirtland Temple? But I don't know if it's because the two groups both viewed themselves as the one true church, right? Mm-hmm. I don't know if they both viewed themselves as having the priesthood authority or if they both viewed themselves as Joseph's church. But for whatever reason, they couldn't come to terms. But when you have $100+ billion in the bank, what's 190 million, right? So yeah, it's pretty exciting for Mormons everywhere that this building is now owned again by the Mormon Church. Obviously, there's going to be a ton of Mormon missionaries sent out there. There will be, I'm sure, a big visitor center. In fact, I think there already was a Mormon visitor center out there. Obviously, they're gonna repurpose a lot of things. But yeah, it's exciting for Mormons that they own this building again.
All right, Bo, final thoughts from you. Now that, you know, you once were a faithful Mormon, now you're a follower of Jesus, but you recognize Mormonism for what it is. What are your final thoughts? Maybe to the Mormon listener who might be a little bit on the fence here.
In the times of Moses, you needed a priest to enter the Holy of Holies. And that's why they had the tabernacle. That's why they had the temple. The law of Moses required that those priests go through rituals to cleanse themselves in order to enter once a year. The high priest got to enter the Holy of Holies. Essentially, that was God's presence, right? That's what it represented. And the beauty of Christ's sacrifice, the beauty of Jesus, God himself dying for us, is that we now, as believers, can be the temple of God. God lives in us. God's spirit lives in us and moves through us. So we don't have to worry about rituals. We don't have to worry about a priest doing all these different things to enter the Holy of Holies. We are the temple of God, and the Spirit of God lives in us. And that's what I've come to know as a Christian. The Kirtland Temple is a historic building, and I'm so happy for my Mormon friends and family. I'm sure that they're celebrating right now, but what I celebrate in is in Jesus, and I know that that through Jesus, through believing on His name, we're saved, and we don't need a temple for that.